This is the E-Commerce Brain Trust, a podcast about building momentum online for established consumer brands. Join our hosts and their expert guests for high-level conversations about e-commerce strategies, trends, and innovations. Access our brain trust and boost your brand's e-commerce potential.
Welcome to the E-Commerce Brain Trust podcast. I'm Julie Speer, head of retail marketplace services here at Acadia. Today, we're joined by Julian Pereira. He's an account manager on the retail team here at Acadia as well. He manages many of our large vendor accounts and serves as a vital resource to the team because of his deep operational expertise. Prior to joining Acadia, Julian spent several years at Amazon as a vendor and program manager, supporting thousands of vendors on their operational performance, and he had a specialty in the area of direct fulfillment. Today, he'll be joining us to discuss his frameworks for evaluating when direct fulfillment is a good fit for a brand that's selling on first-party vendor on Amazon. Welcome, Julian.
Hi. Welcome, Julie. Thank you for the intro. I think I will not have known it better than you, so yeah.
Well, good, good. I'm glad we did you justice in the intro then.
Great.
For our listeners that haven't had a chance to work with you directly before, can you tell us a little bit more about your background and how you developed your expertise around Amazon vendor ops and direct fulfillment?
Definitely. So I was working in Amazon for a couple of years, first as a retail account manager, and then I moved to a program manager position in the direct fulfillment operation team. And this is where I was able to gain some expertise, especially in the onboarding piece of the direct fulfillment team. So I was supporting clients to get ready, supporting them with the configuration and the launch of their DF accounts, while keeping a main focus in operational readiness, so ensuring that they will understand all the different operational aspects of the program. And after that, keeping them healthy and supporting them during the ramp-up phase.
Excellent. All right. Well, so that's quite a meaty background directly in Amazon. So you have a lot of firsthand knowledge that we'll be tapping into today. So we're going to spend the bulk of today really digging into direct fulfillment. But for those who aren't really familiar about the types of fulfillment available to first-party vendors on Amazon, can you give us a quick overview of the options and how direct fulfillment fits in as part of the larger picture of vendor operations?
Definitely. So I think that is different supply chain strategies inside of Amazon Vendor Central, direct import, vendor flex, and of course the traditional PO order fulfillment. I think when we talk about direct fulfillment and the main difference to what is the traditional way to fulfill Amazon, where you rely on Amazon to place a purchase order for you to prepare and send them to the fulfillment centers, is that as a DF vendor, and I like to say the acronym DF, is that this step will be removed. So you will be managing your own inventory and you will receive orders directly from customers. After that, you will ensure that you pick and pack individually these orders before an Amazon carrier comes to collect the orders from your warehouse and deliver them to the end customer.
Interesting. I know ultimately a lot of people have the perception out there that Amazon's first-party vendor ecosystem is pretty well-defined. It's rigid and not very flexible. But there's at least a couple options available for brands to determine how best to offer their products as a vendor. If I'm a brand that's been selling into Amazon through traditional POs, what are key indicators that I should be looking at to understand if direct fulfillment, or DF, might be a good fit for my business?
So first of all, I couldn't agree more that there is plenty of option for different business fits. And I think it's up to each client to see them and to see which better fit their business. Regarding DF, when evaluating if your business is a good fit, the first question I will ask is if you have the capability to process individual orders and if you have the internal resource in your warehouse to do so. If this is a yes, I think you are a step closer of being ready to be a direct fulfillment vendor, but then there is other points, right? And the first one will be to understand that DF is very customer-centric oriented, since you will be managing the preparation of the orders on behalf of Amazon. It's important to be operational healthy, so you don't impact the customer experience, which ultimately can deteriorate the satisfaction of the delivery. Also, something to consider is also the type of products you have in your catalog. Usually, EV bulky products can be a good fit for the program, as they will relieve a lot of space in Amazon fulfillment centers. So categories such as furniture, home improvement, low-end garden, and also kitchen can be an amazing fit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. Can you... You know, we always talk hybrid in the realm of having a 1P offer along with 3P offers for brands. But can you also go hybrid in terms of this fulfillment on 1P? Can you run DF and traditional POs simultaneously?
Sure, you can. If you decide to be a direct fulfillment vendor, this doesn't mean that this will be the only way to do business with Amazon. So you can also be a hybrid vendor or also call DF dual offer, because one of the value proposition of this supply chain strategy is to ensure that your products can always be available for end customer if the Amazon FC are running out of stock. So this being said, you can definitely run your business with DF dual offer while keep receiving POs from Amazon. So it will be the algorithm of Amazon to decide what is the best offer to fulfill a certain order to the end customer. And just an example where this can be critical is during peak season. So for this is Q4, when we can observe there is a lot of demand and Amazon fulfillment centers can be too full to accommodate all the inventory. So having like a backup plan can be critical to ensure that you can still receive orders from customers and be more optimal in terms of the sales that you are generating.
Okay, so that's a clear pro of going the hybrid or the dual offer route, making sure there's inventory coverage and kind of cover gaps in POs coming through or coming across from Amazon. Are there any cons of going the route of dual offer?
It's more about how you will manage between the purchase orders and still managing your DF account. But I think it's one of the value propositions. So I will not say that is probably like a no-go. Probably a no-go is if you decide to be a DF-only vendor for products that might not be the good fit for the program, right? So products that have maybe a lower average selling price or that are also high-speed sensitivity, which means products that customers want to have as soon as possible. So here will be a good fit to add them as a dual offer. But as an example of a DF-only products, right? I mean, if we are buying a laundry machine, maybe this is something that you will make some time to consider which product you want to buy, and you will be willing to wait a couple of days. So this is the kind of products that will be an amazing fit for DF.
Okay. So anything related to a con, it really goes back to what you were saying as the initial indicators that around direct fulfillment. You want to ensure that you have the logistical capabilities and that it's a product category fit as well. So that makes sense. What's the process for getting set up on direct fulfillment if you're already selling through traditional purchase orders?
The process of launching a DF, it's pretty simple compared to other supply chain strategies. You can do it in Vendor Central as a self-service under warehouse settings and provide your warehouse information and opening hours. Or you can also raise a case selecting the option direct fulfillment. After you completed this step, which is the first one, is to create your warehouse, Amazon system will launch and enable it with a given carrier of their choice. And from that moment, all the different tabs that are linked to direct fulfillment will be live. So they will grant you permission so you can start updating inventory, receiving orders, and all the different tasks that DF account needs to perform. However, there is also other important setups that is important to align with Amazon. The first one is the lead time, which mm-hmm. is the time of preparation that you will get for the orders you receive. and also the daily warehouse capacity, which is the maximum volumes your warehouse can handle in a daily basis.
Okay. Was there more to the setup or?
So mandatory, no, but I also have a recommendation, which is implementing EDI and API. So I think if you really want to scale your DF business, I really suggest clients to consider to implement this from the very beginning, because there is a plenty of manual tasks that you need to do to manage your DF business, such as managing orders, manage inventory, invoice management, that can be automated. So this relieves you from these tasks and help you to focus in other aspects of the account. So this is a huge recommendation that I provide.
I love it. That's a very sound recommendation. And keeping in the vein of recommendations, you know, once you've gone the path of DF, what are some of the metrics that brands should use to assess the health and effectiveness of the program to ensure that they're going the right direction for fulfillment?
So if setting up DF is easy, I think to monitor the account is more challenging. And there is a couple of metrics that are critical for the success of the program. First one that I would like to mention is a cancellation rate. So this metric measures the number of orders that you cancel. So here, usually the main reason for this to happen is because a client is not monitoring regularly their inventory. So they are receiving orders that are actually out of stock. So at the end, who is being impacted is the customer, right? Because he's purchasing the product and at the end, he will not receive it. And maintaining a low cancellation rate below 1.5% is crucial to avoid potential suspension of your DF account.
Mm-hmm. Are there other operational metrics that brands should zero in on?
Definitely. So now we're looking to KPIs that are related to the order lifecycle. I would like to start with expected ship date. So the target for this one is 98%. Once again, these are really, really challenging metrics. And this all comes from what I mentioned earlier, that this is DF is very customer oriented. So it's very important to keep really high level metrics. But just to come back to the expected ship date, this metric indicates whether items were shipped within the expected ship date that Amazon has provided. So I think here it's primarily the responsibility of the client to ensure timely shipment, as missing this metric can affect the final delivery date. Speaking about final delivery date, we can move to the delivery estimate accuracy. So the DEA, I like to call this metric the queen of all metrics because it measures where the order meets the original promise given to the customer. So while this metric can be impacted by the carrier, right, because from the moment the carrier collects from the warehouse of the client, it will also be measured in terms of how if he's respecting the transit time. But nevertheless, it's important to keep a track of this metric because at the end, it tells us if the customer was satisfied with the delivery process.
That would make it queen. I like it. Yeah. I like that designation. Staying in the vein of metrics, what are the sort of metrics that Amazon looks at to assess the health of a business?
So they definitely look at DEA and XST, and they look to then impact other configuration of client account, such as the lead time or even the capacity that I previously mentioned. So if the client is not performing in these targets, Amazon will reevaluate their lead time and will downgrade this configuration, which can impact the conversion, right? Because if your lead time is increasing, it means that the promised delivery date that is being given to the customer, it's also increased. So maybe the customer will not be tempted to buy the product because he considers that he will need to wait to a longer period. So it's important to keep a good track of your XST and DA performance to ensure that the lead time is not impacted. This also is reflecting in the capacity. So if you are not able to manage, this is just an example, 50 orders per day, they might consider to decrease it because they they see that you don't have the logistic capabilities to respect what is the maximum volume that you can handle in a daily basis. So in a nutshell, they look to operational KPIs to then impact what is your configuration, which ultimately can impact your conversion and the sales that you are generating.
Okay, that all makes sense. I think kind of changing direction a little bit, but on the other side of things, outside of operational inefficiency or being in a tough product category, are there things that you'd consider to be an immediate no-go for using direct fulfillment as a brand?
Yes. So, I mean, if you don't have these logistic capabilities to pick and pack individually the products, that's definitely a no-go. Because, I mean, if you need more time, the lead time can be adjusted. If you are not able to prepare 50, 100 orders, the capacity can also be reduced. But the most important that you are able to commit with the timelines that Amazon is providing. In terms of products, I think I already mentioned, but it's important to avoid products that have a really low price, because Amazon can potentially suppress these products. And usually this suppression is an automated process. So that is not really something that we can like push back. So I will keep an eye on that. And for products that you consider that are really sensitive to the speed that we are giving to a customer, I will consider them for a dual offer option, where you know that if something comes in the logistics centers of Amazon, you always have a backup plan to provide these products to the end customer.
Okay, that's super helpful. And it paints, all of this gives a clear picture of like which brands may or may not be a fit for direct fulfillment and their own assessment of going that route. But from your experience, how does Amazon look at this? They've got to be running their own calculations on which products and categories are more favorable for direct fulfillment or not. What's the process there?
So they will look, first of all, the category, it's very important, because there is clearly categories which benefit from being in the direct fulfillment program, especially because of the space they occupy like in the fulfillment centers of Amazon. So that will be one first input that they will consider. But then there is a logic or kind of an algorithm that will consider, okay, in this catalog, based on so many different inputs, what this ASIN should be? Should be a DF-only product or should be a dual offer product? And that's something that then they can suggest to a client, which is, look, from the 100 items that we see in your catalog, there's here 20, 30 products that can benefit from be a DF-only product. And that's a recommendation that they might suggest. But then it's always up to the client to also make the strategy of what will be better for me in terms of my supply chain strategy. Because it's true that direct fulfillment can be very positive in terms of being a backup plan for products that run out of stock. But still, the client needs to have the capabilities to follow all the operational requirements to keep the account healthy and avoid any suspicion.
Okay. Very helpful to have that perspective as you consider this as a brand as well. Let's shift a little bit. Let's say I'm a vendor. I'm going to start offering direct fulfillment for my catalog. How do I actually set this up in Vendor Central? Are there things that I have to set up on my end while setting it up in my account? What does that look like?
I think one task or one thing that a client really needs to do is to create the warehouse. And that's what will generate the launch of the program, because the warehouse will have also a code. And in the Amazon system, that warehouse code will be kind of an Amazon warehouse at the end, right? Because they will consider, okay, if you start to add inventory, they will and if you are in, for instance, in dual offers, so you are fulfilling Amazon fulfillment centers, but you are also providing inventory in your DF account, Amazon will see that as an Amazon warehouse. And that's when the algorithm comes and plays with what is the best warehouse to fulfill this order from this customer. And then comes a lot of attributes such as profitability, lead time, and also the time to delivery. So that's why I always suggest that working as a hybrid model, it's a perfect way to work with EF.
All right. All of this has been really helpful. And I think, you know, maybe to help brands consider if direct fulfillment is the right path or not, understanding, we've talked about metrics, we've talked about the setup, all of that. How about the day in the life? What's it like for a vendor that goes the direct fulfillment route? Can you kind of talk me through what that might look like for them?
Sure. And actually, I will not only answer daily, but also weekly. So I think in a daily basis, there is one task that is important, which is to update the inventory to ensure that you are reflecting what you actually have in stock to the customers. Because once again, you are providing inventory or availability to customers and not necessarily to Amazon. Of course, Amazon will notice that you have inventory, but ultimately, who is buying the product already is the customer. Then, in a daily basis, there is 2 points, which is prior to the carrier pickup and after the carrier pickup. Prior to the carrier pickup, you need to generate labels, and you need to pick and pack your orders. After the carrier pickup, you need to ensure that you mark the order as shipped in Vendor Central or through the automation of EDI and API. And last but not least, invoice Amazon for these orders that you have marked as shipped, which is an automated process, pretty simple to follow. In a weekly basis, for instance, set up a 30-minute block calendar just to review your operational metrics and see if there is any improvements that can be added to your supply chain and to your logistics to ensure that you keep your metrics healthy to avoid any degradation in the lead time or the capacity, or even worse, have the account suspended because of bad performance.
Well, Julian, you've given us a lot of information for brands to consider, for account managers to keep in mind when they're monitoring the performance and health of an account that goes the direct fulfillment route and to setting it up. So I really appreciate for all the insights and the time you've taken today. And I hope we've given some brands some good food for thought as they're considering the best path for them in terms of fulfilling orders on 1P on Amazon.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. It was a pleasure to talk a little bit about DF and hope you found it useful.
I did. Thanks again, Julian.
Thank you.